You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We're introducing legislation to implement a national freeze on handgun ownership. What this means is that it will no longer be possible to buy, sell, transfer, or import handguns anywhere in Canada. In other words, we're capping the market for handguns.
May 31st, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA, and it will take you to the studio, and you'll join us right here in studio. Glad to have you. And I'm glad to report that our tech issues have been resolved with our KXEN1010.com. So for those reaching or living and driving, traveling beyond the radio signal, simply load that onto your phone or simply open it up on your phone, KXEN1010.com, and you can continue listening to us. Digital signal, static free. Those words spoken about we're going to start targeting and no one can own or have a handgun come from Justin Trudeau of Canada. I thought all the concern was supposed to be about AK-47s. Of course, we told you repeatedly that the majority of homicides, I'm talking about the U.S. now, but it applies elsewhere, are committed by handguns, not AK-47s, not so-called long rifles or even shotguns, handguns. That's why you have to be at least 21 to buy a handgun. You can buy an AK-47 or any other rifle, shotgun, at age 18. Which I have no problem with if the child, I say the young person, is going to be properly trained and using it for hunting and knows what they're doing and is mentally stable. Well, you raise a teenager, you have to ask yourself, are they ever mentally stable? But in seriousness, here we have our neighbor to the north saying we're going to crack down on handguns. Now, the next step, of course, is they're not confiscating. They're just going to stop the import, purchase, and sale. I don't know how that's supposed to play if you like to go hunt in Canada. You have a rifle, but you might also be carrying a handgun with you when you're in the field, just in case you run across a bear that comes up on you and you don't have time to get to the rifle. I don't know how that's going to play out at that point. But they're capping the market for handguns itself. And today, President Biden is meeting with the Premier of New Zealand, where they had a mass murder that was carried out by an AK-47. And, of course, they're talking about gun control as well. And Australia's biggest state of New South Wales now launching a fresh round of firearm destruction, disposing weapons seized and gathered by local law enforcement officers. You think there's not going to be additional pressure on the Second Amendment in this nation? Of course there will be. Now, don't go so far as to say we don't need any gun laws and restrictions, because we do need some common sense. But then also don't go to the other side and say, get rid of all guns. That's not going to solve things either. The House Judiciary Committee holding an emergency meeting later this afternoon, or I take it back, Thursday, to work on an extensive gun control package. We'll have to wait and see what comes out of that. Elsewhere today, we have Sussman, Hillary Clinton's attorney, found not guilty. No surprise there. My God, I expected that. But what did we learn from that jury? A lot. And a lot of it points direct to Hillary and her campaign and Hunter Biden and Did you know Hunter Biden was using a burner phone for a period of time? You've heard of burner phones. Usually that's drug dealers. Well, of course, Hunter Biden was involved in drugs. But what else is he worried about that he was using a burner phone? We'll be getting into that story. And we're also going to look at how this economy is totally upside down and Biden still will not admit his fault. And then we have Leah Thomas said there's no advantage to being a transgender competing in women's sports. Well, one publication found two doctors said, yes, there is. That publication, ironically, is the New York Times. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President Biden out with a Wall Street Journal op-ed today detailing his supposed plan to tackle inflation. He writes, quote, inflation is elevated, exacerbated by Vladimir Putin's war in Ukraine. Energy markets are in turmoil. Supply chains that haven't fully healed are causing shortages and price hikes. This says fuel prices keep breaking records, with the price of gasoline now hitting $4.62 a gallon. We are entering the peak season, so we'll likely see prices continue higher.
Democrats spent an additional $3 trillion last year, Marie, on top of everything that they already put into the budget. And it's that is what's exasperating the situation with inflation. I also like the way he snuck in there that line to try and temper everyone's expectations about job growth next year. Be prepared for 150,000 jobs a month. The 500,000 jobs per month is just unrealistic now that we're in this time of low unemployment. Everything that he's put in there is, again, just trying to blame Putin for the problems that this administration has caused themselves. Whether we're talking about energy production, whether we're talking about inflation, this is all the direct result of bad policies by the Biden administration.
Clearly, there's no other explanation. That is Congressman Matt Rosendale, Republican of Montana, in an interview with Maria Bartiromo talking about this Wall Street Journal article, editor, I should say opinion piece, that Joe Biden wrote for the Wall Street Journal. I just decided, if I write something in the Wall Street Journal, it'll calm down all the Wall Street investors, and they'll know I'm on top of things. It's probably going in the waste can or being marked up, say, hold this because we'll use it to bite him in the arse later on. Everything that he has in his opinion page is laying blame everywhere but on his own administration. I want to remind you of something. When Obama came into office, it took 3+ years for him finally to say, okay, anything that happened from here on is my fault. The rest was Bush's fault. It took 3 years. Biden has been saying that from day one, and yet we know Biden is most directly responsible for everything he did. And you heard Congressman Rosendale say how Biden kind of slipped into the article about how the jobs will be improving. He said, no, they won't. Not at this rate. And Congressman Rosendale had another dire prediction.
We're up over 8% on inflation, and I think if you actually calculated in the increased cost of energy, it is much higher than that. Everyone that I'm talking to, my farmers, my ranchers, all of their inputs, fertilizer, fuel costs, they're going up by 200 and 300%. So I don't see how in the world inflation can be held at this 8-9% level. It's going to continue to get worse because no action has been taken by this administration to start making a change. So I'm afraid the wave hasn't even hit the beach yet.
Yeah, the wave has yet to hit the beach. And when it does, it's going to be a tsunami. Those of you watching us right now on Rumble.com, I know you see me shaking my head and just like, oh, my God, is everything he's saying is right, and it's just the fact that there's no way out of this box as long as Biden and the Democrats are in control. That is why I stress to you over and over again, we begin by dismantling the control of the Congress in 2022. A third of the Senate seats are up for election. All of the House members. We should certainly be able to turn the House and win more and hold the majority, which means ding dong, the witch is dead. Well, I'm sorry, I take that back. Nancy Pelosi would no longer be Speaker of the House because her party would not be in control. And the other thing is, we take control of the Senate so we're not a split 50-50, leaving it to Kamala Harris to be the deciding vote and a tie. Do not take it for granted, though. I want to stress to you again, do not take it for granted that we will have that tsunami at the polls. And, of course, the issue that you deal with and see every day is when you go to fill up your pump on your gas tank at a pump. I did it again yesterday. And right there, somebody, they're everywhere. I know you've seen them. Joe Biden smiling, pointing and saying, and under it, I did that, pointing to the gas price. That's right. He did that. CBS did a report on how diesel prices have jumped and how bad that in turn is going to be for the economy.
Fuel price is like $6.39 a gallon.
Imagine paying that for a fill-up of more than 100 gallons.
A regular fill-up would have been, just say 6 months ago, about $700. Now, it's about $1,000.
It's what truckers are facing across the country for diesel. And you're paying the price, according to oil analyst Tom Kluza.
If you're ordering anything that moves by freight across the country, it comes via fuel surcharges. Probably not the worst of the diesel surcharges. That'll come next month. I just don't think there's any magic bullet at the moment. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough summer.
Now, again, Biden will probably tap into our strategic reserves again to help with the summer travel, and especially when we get to November to get those prices down, make it look like he's doing things. He's robbing the future and what we need for a strategic emergency. The strategic oil reserve is there in case refineries are shut down across the nation because of hackers or some other issue. And every time there's a hurricane coming in, they have to shut them down along the coastline. And when you shut down a refinery, it takes a while to get it back up. You can't just turn a switch, say, okay, we're back to power. It doesn't work that way. And all the oil rigs that are operating in the Gulf would be shut down. None of that's going to help. And that's where you would need strategic oil reserve, not for political gain, which is what this president will do. And then here comes something else. A bill to stop any price gouging. But it fails to define what is price gouging. And it's being headed up by none other than Senator Elizabeth Warren. What could go wrong there? Let me give you an idea of this bill. It would penalize companies for price gouging during times of war. We already have that. Public health emergencies, we also already have that. If you've ever lived along the coastline and a hurricane comes in, believe me, if they suddenly start raising prices of lumber and water and things of that nature, they're going to be hit with price gouging or natural disasters, which we've seen all over the last 2 years. But now this one, she says, and I'm quoting American Indian Elizabeth Warren. Well, that's wrong. I should have said that. Even she's admitting I'm not Native American. But it worked for a while when she was in law school, and she made big business and news and admission on that into law school because she was part Native American, which turned out to be a lie. But anyway, she says the prices Americans are paying for groceries and other essentials are at all-time highs. Well, I'm glad she recognizes it. Not because she probably went to do her own buying, but she's hearing about it. She says one of the reasons giant corporations are price gouging and reaping record profits. We need to put a stop to corporate gouging that drives up prices for families. If they are doing so, I agree with her. But they're passing along the cost of production everywhere from the farm field, if it's any kind of food product, the fertilizer the farmer has to pay for. He's got to increase the cost of his product. It's picked up by a truck at the silo. They're going to have to pay additional diesel fuel. Maybe it goes on train, then it goes somewhere else. Then it's got to be stocked, and then it's shortage of supply and our employees to make it, get it unloaded, and it just adds to the cost. She says this is the problem. It could not be. It couldn't be the record runaway inflation. Oh, no, 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 no. And the White House, of course, loves the fact President Biden did his Wall Street Journal piece today. And a spokesman at the White House was asked about his opinion about where we are with the economy and the president's remarks. And the spokesman for the White House, I tell you, the reason they put him out front is he has definitely got down the word that Biden wants pushed. And that word is a single word. It amounts to something that I know you've heard before. And Brian Deese, the White House Economic Council, uses that T word.
Well, I think where we are right now is in a transition, transitioning from what has been a historically strong economic recovery to what can be more stable and resilient growth. But at the front and center of that is tackling inflation and bringing down prices and bringing them down as fast as we prudently can. And that's what the president's plan that he outlined today and the meeting that he'll have with Chair Powell is all about. First, we need to give the Fed the independence to operate and use it, the tools that it has to address inflation. Second, we need to bring down everyday costs for families during this transition period. And third, we need to bring down the federal deficit. We've made some real progress on that front, the deficit down more than $1.5 trillion already this year, but we need to make more progress there as well.
Now, he mentioned talking with the Fed. Well, Biden has said, I won't meddle with the Fed. I don't think he needs to. Yellen's on his team. She'll do whatever he wants and knows direction he needs to go. So a question from Maria Bartiromo back to Congressman Rosendale of Montana.
Will these issues be part of the Democrats' agenda this summer? And what do you think this means for the midterm elections?
Oh, I think that the talk about the wave hitting the beach of inflation, I think that the wave is going to be the red wave that's going to roll across this country. You're going to see the House of Representatives, the Republicans are going to take the majority back in a large, large fashion. We'll probably be sitting at about 270 seats. I truly believe that. I do believe now that the Senate is in play. And this is going to give us the opportunity to start putting some policies forward. And then it's going to be up to the president on whether he wants to continue to veto good policies put forward by the Republicans.
What good policies he put forward anyway? And then would he take plans from Republicans? No, he won't. He's not going to open the Keystone Pipeline. Well, let me put it this way. He doesn't want to. He might be forced to. He didn't want to restart federal drilling on federal lands, but, I mean, drilling on the federal lands, but he decided to go ahead and open those up. But then the Interior Department stepped in and saved him and said, well, we got too many complaints about a particular snail that might die or something. Who knows? There's nothing this administration has done to make things better. And now you got Senator Elizabeth Warren running forward and saying, it's price gouging. It's not Biden's fault. It's all price gouging. If you believe that, I got some things I'll sell you. I'll tell you there'll be a good price, but I will gouge you. Of course, you're not going to accept that story. Now, I want you to hear Joe Concha, Fox contributor, writer for The Hill, and his assessment of what's going to happen as we move into November. Please stand by. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As sure as you were born and the sun rises in the east, that if gas prices were at all-time highs under the previous U.S. president, we would not be hearing all these excuses being made that somehow the current president, Joe Biden, is just, you know, a victim of circumstances. Remember, it was the Biden administration that shut off the expansion of the Keystone Pipeline about 5 minutes after taking office. It was the Biden administration that shut down drilling in Anwar in Alaska, an oil-rich region. And the Biden administration just recently canceled three offshore oil leases scheduled for the Gulf Coast and in Alaska. Overall, polls show overwhelmingly that Americans say energy independence should be a top priority in this country. We're talking north of 80%. Both Republicans and Democrats share this view. Yet this president, this administration is completely out of touch and out of step with what voters want, and they're going to pay a huge price for it.
Come November, they're going to pay a huge price. November 2020. And hopefully 2024. The American public is smarter than what Biden thinks you are. He really doesn't think you're smart, that you're just going to buy whatever he says. And there are those Democrats out there that are going to buy it. But a lot of Democrats have also gotten to the point that I'm paying $90 to fill up the tank. But Elizabeth Warren, don't forget, it's all price gouging. It has nothing to do with the Biden administration. Her proposal has no chance to pass. It's probably going to be shelved at some point, but only after she gets some publicity and headlines out, which I helped her with. Glad to help you, Elizabeth. Just points out how stupid you are. Can't help that. Can't fix stupid, as my friend Jim White, the big bumper, used to say. But it's not just the economy, stupid. It's also the border, the lack of a border under this administration. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
The Biden administration clearly doesn't want to stop the illegal immigration. They're encouraging it. They've done that since day one. We've had to fight them at every step trying to slow this down, and they've done nothing to help us. And they continue to invite the cartels to bring as many people as possible to the border. The Border Patrol take the handoff, and then they transport them around the country in the middle of the night. That is a fact.
That is a fact. And the other fact is, you want to know where a lot of baby formula is right now? On the border. On the border being given to illegals coming across the border. And we have not solved the border, the formula crisis either in the nation. There's still mothers out there trying to figure out, how am I going to get infant formula for my child? Go to the border, pose as an illegal, you'll probably get some. And then you heard Paxton talking about how the government continues to fly illegals in the dead of night into various places across the country, not telling anybody they're coming. They just arrive and you're here. They're not really vetting. They're not checking anymore for COVID. They're just kind of letting it happen. They just don't care because they really believe these voters, these folks coming in, will become Democrat voters. I'm not so sure they will be. And in fact, Texas Attorney General Paxton says, we have, as the GOP in general, have demanded the DHS give us documents on how many they're transporting, where they're taking them, and what's happened to them after they transport them. Please listen.
They have transported literally hundreds of thousands of people around the country on buses, on planes. They've done it at weird times. They've tried to keep it as non-transparent as possible. They do not want the public to know what's going on. And we need to have the light of day shown on what they've done over the last year and a half. I think the American people are going to be surprised and shocked, and they're not going to like the story that they find.
No, let me be more direct. They're going to be PO'd. They are going to be angered. They're going to be absolutely incensed, and rightly so, because whatever resources you have in your community will be sucked up by illegals. Baby formula goes to the illegals first. So we have a verdict in the Michael Sussman case on perjury. He is found, no surprise, not guilty. But we have learned something during that trial that is critical. Stand by, please. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Then old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
To be candid with this jury, it's very possible to get a hung jury or even an acquittal. That doesn't mean that the case hasn't been made, that the American people haven't seen sworn testimony that Hillary Clinton knew what they were doing when they falsely accused the president, when they paid to mislead in some way the FBI. And it does mean that when we take control in January, as we anticipate we will, that we've got to help clean house in the Department of Justice and the FBI. These are good organizations with lots of good people, but very clearly they had enough people in high positions, many of whom were still there during the Trump administration, to undermine that administration. And that kind of what I would call, lawyer treason has to be dealt with, and it has to be dealt with by a suspicious Congress. This one is not suspicious. The next one will be. We'll be looking for the kind of wrongdoing, and we'll do it with the Inspector General, with others that can help us root out people who have, in fact, crossed the line and not done their job.
Not done their job, but more important than that, they covered up that they were not doing their job. Those are the words of Congressman Issa, Daryl Issa, Republican in California, on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He's saying, okay, so Michael Sussman is found not guilty. No surprise, no surprise. Because I've told you before that the judge admitted they had had a relationship in the sense of a business relationship years ago. The judge should have been recused on that very point. One of the jurors admitting that their child played with one of Sussman's children on a sporting team. Does that sound right? Why don't they just go ahead and say, who in here is willing to vote for acquittal right now and will be done with it? They might as well have done that because that's what that amounted to. Michael Sussman was charged with lying to the federal grand jury investigation because he had contacted an FBI agent and said, hey, I want to come over and share something with you. I'm doing it as an average American wanting to help the Bureau. I'm not working for anybody. And on top of that, he sent an email to that extent. He sent the email first saying those words. Then he went and held the meeting. Now, the email, you think, well, there's your damning evidence, your smoking gun. But they could not actually introduce it as prime evidence. It could be supporting evidence of what the FBI officer said on the stand. He wasn't going to perjure himself for Michael Sussman. But the statute of limitations had run out on presenting the email. It's a farce of justice. It's a total farce. Congressman Jim Jordan saying, okay, we still learned a lot. He said the big takeaway here was, we learned a few days back when we learned that Secretary Clinton told Sussman to take false information to the press that was also then taken to the FBI. He said, step back and think about this. This is the former Secretary of State. This is the former First Lady. This is the former U.S. Senator from the state of New York, candidate for one of the major parties for President of the United States. She is encouraging a false narrative to be taken to the press. And, of course, it was taken to the FBI, and I think that is huge, he said. So much so that the former attorney general called it seditious. Again, you ought to take my word for it. The information, he said, came from her campaign manager, Robbie Mook, under oath in a court of law to making that statement. So that, he said, is a big takeaway. That's one of the things we learned. Robbie Mook just kind of carelessly, well, yeah, I gave it to them. Press because I talked to Hillary and she said, yeah, go ahead. That'd be one way to get this out. She knew it was false. He knew it was false. They didn't give a big D. None. And then, of course, the other part of it, you heard ISIS said, we need a full, independent, transparent investigation to find out how high this went, who was all involved. In fact, the question he's going to get, how much complicity would you find between the FBI, the DOJ, and the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Congressman, thanks for joining me. I got to tell you what, I look at what information has come out now about how the Hillary Clinton campaign completely orchestrated this hoax, fed it to the FBI, but then the FBI, for 3 years with the media, runs with this story, right? And I want to know, did the FBI and DOJ know this was a hoax and this was politics, or were they completely duped?
Well, they absolutely did know. You know, if you have to choose with the FBI between complete incompetence or wrongdoing, you have to choose wrongdoing. They're too well paid, too well trained, and too well equipped not to know better. And there's evidence that they specifically did know better, that they knew that this wasn't credible even when it was brought to them. But it worked.
It worked. As I say, the jury contained one federal government employee told the judge they donated to the Democrats in 2016. Another told the judge they strongly disliked former President Trump. But they said we can be impartial. It included, again, a juror who had a child who was on the same high school sports team as Sussman's child. So how did it play out, Congressman Issa?
Let's remember one thing. If something works, you keep doing it. Hunter Biden made $11 million off of his father's name and reputation, and he's an artist making millions more selling art while his father's the president. So if a con works, you do it. In this case, it worked not only to have this false narrative, but to continue with it throughout the entire Trump administration. Most people in America today have this sort of a whiff of, well, was Trump too cozy with Russia, when in fact it was Hunter Biden that got millions from the mayor of Moscow that can't be explained in any way except a payoff to him for being the son of his father.
And then, of course, we have the question about Joe Biden himself. But before I go down that road, and one other little piece of evidence. Sussman, again, found not guilty. That's our trial system. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. I'm not going to go out there and burn down the courthouse, though. I'm not going to go out there and protest and march and shout and yell, get a megaphone and get in front of Sussman's face and yell at him, "You're guilty, you're guilty." I might think that, but I'm not going to do that because I do believe in our system of courts, although I want to believe they're being done fairly. And Sussman, of course, based upon that decision, was able to issue a statement. "I told the truth to the FBI, and the jury clearly recognized this in their unanimous verdict today." John Durham, of course, who is the special prosecutor, "While we are disappointed in the outcome, we respect the jury decision, thank them for their service." In the back of his mind, he's thinking, but we found a gold mine of material through the process of this inquiry. Sussman was that small fish in the pond. They have bigger fish in their sights. Does it go past even Hillary, especially when you pull in Hunter Biden and his connections that he was making while he was with Daddy? Well, to that extent, we now know that Hunter Biden had what, let me see, what do the drug dealers call it? Or somebody wants to hide something, a burner phone.
The fact is, you don't need these kinds of virtual phone numbers unless you intend to buy drugs or do something clandestine and then make the line go away. It's very clear that he wanted to do that. He wanted to have multiple numbers so that someone would think they were talking to somebody or texting with somebody on a number, and then he could just make it go away, which he obviously did. The fact that Hunter Biden got on the vice president's aircraft and was taken to the countries he was doing business with, it's very likely that we need to change the law so that could never happen again. You can't have the president, the vice president, essentially bringing his family in and using them. Current law apparently allows for it. So there are legislative reasons we need to do investigation, but the most important one was the one we started with, which is we've got to get the Department of Justice to be reliable and do their job and to do it blindly. And right now, as you can see, Hunter Biden is not even paying a price for his income tax evasion. He's going to pay back apparently a couple of million dollars that he deceived and got away with for a period of time. That's not what would happen to you or I. If you and I cheated the government out of millions of dollars, it would not be just pay the fine later. There'd be criminal prosecution. That's an Al Capone type of event, and yet it's very clear he's not being prosecuted.
Right back. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Carr.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Couple of final notes about the Sussman trial. I'll repeat again. He is, quote, not guilty of perjury. But we have gotten to the underbelly of the scandal that Hillary Clinton, the FBI, and the DOJ, Fusion GPS, the Michael Steele dossier, how they all colluded along with mainstream and now state-controlled media to peddle a lie. So when Donald Trump talks about fake news, there is fake news. I'm looking at a piece Margo Cleveland wrote on this. Margo expected Sussman to be found guilty, so I'm sure she, I don't think she wrote this overnight, she might have. But she said the U.S. v. Sussman exposed that Hillary Clinton holds full responsibility for the Russian collusion hoax. And she said even the acquittal of Sussman will not erase these facts. So for all posterity, Clinton's fingerprints will be seen covering the worst political scandal of our country's history. Those similar remarks expressed by Congressman Jim Jordan earlier as I read them for you. And then she adds, Clinton, however, will be not be the only one whose legacy will be forever tainted. The special counsel's prosecution of Sussman likewise decimates the reputation of the legacy media. The legacy media was and is a leftist lapdog. So the corporate press, long demonstrating anti-conservative bias, and then once it became clear that Donald Trump was going to be the Republican challenger against Hillary, the legacy media abandoned all semblance of journalistic integrity. She said, for instance, the prosecution of Sussman made public email communications between the Clinton Fund, GPS, and prominent reporters of the New York Times, Washington Post, Reuters, Yahoo, ABC News, Slate. They all exposed the journalists supposedly collaborating closely with the government and researchers with the Clinton campaign during the election. And it went on to say, she said, it exposed using federal agencies to push smear campaigns, which they did, under the assurance and backing of reporters. The government absolutely confirmed the prosecution's theory that the whole thing was a setup. And the Washington Post was involved in it, and all the others. They all were complicit. Not just the DOJ, not the feds, but, quote, legacy media. And she said these failures cannot be explained away. They are what they are, and I'm adding this, not her. They are what they are. They're criminal. There is no journalistic ethics within those who were helping Hillary Clinton smear Donald Trump. I don't care whether you like Trump or not, but the facts are he was being smeared with stuff that did not exist except what they created. And the FBI and the DOJ were all willing to take part in it. And, of course, the lapdog media, as she described them, certainly did as well. Now, coming up in the next hour, we're going to focus a lot on gun control in the beginning. And before we wrap up, we're going to talk about a teacher that said, what is this book doing in our children's school teaching children that a man can become pregnant? Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into Leah Thomas claiming that transgenders don't really have an advantage over women in sports. And yet the New York Times, somebody's going to have to explain that to that reporter. Don't go find doctors that say she's wrong. Find doctors that agree with her. They put the wrong doctors in the article because they said, yeah, women do have an advantage if they're transsexual women. And also gun control. I began this hour by Martin Trudeau, the Prime Minister in Canada, saying we are going to take all handguns, no sale of guns. We're not going to be able to sell them and transport them, things of this nature. This word for you to keep in mind. Biden is now saying, while he's all concerned about AK-47s, you know what Biden is now pushing? Biden is now pushing to get rid of 9mm. 9mm pistols or anything that fires 9mm. He said, I went and saw some of those kids who were shot at that school. He said, a 22 might put a hole in you. The 9mm will blow your lung out of your body. That's not true. But don't let the facts interfere with a good narrative when you're trying to. You have now made it public. Your real mission is not to get rid of the AK-47s. It's to go after guns because a 9mm handgun is the most popular handgun being sold in the U.S. And if they get that one, they'll go after the others. You do not want to miss the next hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.